Welcome back to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios as we kick off hour number three right here on Fan Run Radio. It's brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and just a hint of fruit flavor. Simply delicious. Only 100 calories. Now available in 8 refreshing flavors. Fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, juicy lemon, grapefruit, black cherry, lime. Each one a wave of pure refreshment. White Claw Hard Seltzer made pure. Please drink responsibly. White Claw Hard Seltzer. All right, let's go right to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. A couple people waiting through the break there. Andrew, you're up first. What's up, buddy? You're on Three and Out.
How's it going, fellas?
Morning.
We've been better.
A couple minutes ago, somebody said something. They said, what happened to the offense, to the team that we've seen for South Carolina, Missouri? I called voluntary action after the South Carolina game, and I said, I got a question. Why are we throwing 50 yards across the field for a five-yard gain and things like that? Now our head coach is recognizing it, and I got shunned away, said, hey, we got the win, relax. Mm. But now that teams have 4 weeks of offense to look at, we can't do those same basic plays. And I said, why am I seeing this as a casual fan and they're not? And then we turn around after the Kentucky game in which our offense gave up, not scored, gave up about 17 points on turnovers at least, and we're firing somebody on the defensive staff. Our defense only gave up 14 to 17 points on Kentucky. That's very reasonable. For a big offensive line team, they're going to run a couple touchdowns in. They shouldn't have scored 34 points. But we blame our defensive line coach, which I understand the whole summer, the summer story of he was too lax and all that. But why when our offense gives up 17 points are we firing the defensive line coach? That don't make no sense to me. It's why I trust Pruitt, but I don't trust him to make timely decisions, meaning – Why are you just now seeing that a 5 yard outplay for throwing it 50 yards with Garantano, nothing over the middle ever? And when you do, he throws an interception. Why are you just now seeing that as a $4 million a year head coach?
Thanks for the call, Andrew. Those are great questions, and that's a good observation from week
one.
That
was a head scratcher for everybody. Monday morning, right? Like, we – Brumbaugh? I mean, of all the position groups, it didn't make a lot of sense.
No. I think of it as a – Pruitt was already mad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure – like, again, this is speculation. I have no inside sources on this whatsoever. But – and it probably wasn't anything too bad, but Brumbaugh said something that just irritated Jeremy, and Jeremy was kind of already at a certain level, and he's just like, you're out of here. Because like that seems kind of
I think
foolish.
There was definitely a confrontation of some kind.
That seems foolish to 4 games in, you hire this guy, you pay him all this money, and then it's just like it's not working out whenever we can tell. I mean, have teams just been dominating us in the run game?
Nope.
So it's not great. I can't even remember what show it was, but I heard Pruitt talking. I only listened for like a couple of plays, but the defense was out there. And the only comments he made were about the defensive line in this post-game show. And he's talking like, I remember it's like, he didn't call the player out by name, but I think Latrell Bumpus is number 88. He's like, 88 needs to do something besides just watching the play take place. And then he had another comment, and I can't remember what it was, but it seems like he's getting frustrated with that, and it's one of those situations where you're focusing in on something that's a problem, more than likely, but it is not, you're not seeing the forest for the... Or the tree, you're seeing a certain tree instead of the entire forest. Mm-hmm.
It's, again, I mean, he's a defensive coach, so I'm not surprised that he's going to grade and judge his defense more harshly. But this team's problem is not defensive line.
No.
I think Trey said on the drive yesterday that, Pruitt's threatened to fire every assistant coach on the staff at some point. I mean, he like yelled at Chris Winkie or something during the game about firing. I mean, but that's kind of just a thing. And then, so for him to actually pull the trigger
And see, I was very strange, and it felt like a kind of the last straw type of deal for Pruitt, and maybe he operates that way. Maybe that's okay. Maybe that's the way he does it. But to not identify that you need to, you know, quote unquote, fire Jarrett Garantano from the starting quarterback role is just laughable at this point. Let's go back to the phone lines. G3 Help Me Hotlines. We got Zach up next. What's up, Zach?
What do you say, Houston Nate Davey?
Morning, bro.
Trucking along.
Hey, guys. You were talking about whether people are view us as a rivalry. I think Will brought it up. Yeah, I think they circle us this year, and they're like, oh, good. We get to play them.
Yeah, this is that Alabama's bye week.
I mean, the way we were handling the quarterback right now and the way the defense is giving up, I mean, if you're an opposing team with any talent, I'd be like, well, we get to play them this week. That should be pretty easy. We'll have it done by at least they mail it in at the second half. So
good chance to develop some depth.
You were talking about the quarterbacks earlier, guys. I have to disagree a little bit. I don't know about, you know, everybody thinks Alabama's defense is so terrible this year. You watch, they'll shut us out this week if we're not careful. They've still got talent over there. And I don't know about putting Bailey right back there and right away when you haven't had that many practices. And the only thing I say that with is not because I don't want to see him play. It's I don't want to see him hurt. I'm not worried about his psyche. He could throw 20 picks, and I'd be okay with it because we're used to seeing what we're used to seeing with what we have now. But I just don't want the guy hurt. I don't want him, you know. Let's face it, our tackles have really struggled against good competition. I've been disappointed in the line play. I just don't want to see him blown up and something happens where he's hurt. Now, next week, you're fine, but you know, let's give somebody else a chance. Let's give Maurer a chance. I know he's a prime example of where we put him out there and he got hurt, but I just don't know. I don't think this week it really matters that much. What I kind of pissed off still about is, like, why have during the Pruitt tenure have we had games where we've been blown out or we've been or we've blown out the team and we haven't got other quarterbacks in the rotation to play during this scrap time? That just pisses me off to think about that. You know?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's laughable. I mean, and Pruitt was asked about that in a post game, and he just kind of laughed it off, like, "Well, there's no way we were coming back against Georgia when we were down that much." It's like, buddy, that's not, you know, get your guy in so that he can be ready in the Kentucky game when Jarrett Garantano throws two pick sixes. Like, it'd been nice if that hadn't been JT Shrout's first snap of the season when you're down. I mean, because you could have come back and won the Kentucky game. Like, the defense was playing well enough in the first half. You ran the ball an entire drive and scored a touchdown. I mean, it was 17-7 at halftime, right? Like, that's not that for normal offenses, 10 points in today's college football, an entire half of football, when your defense has stopped them on every single drive except for the one where they started almost in the red zone, not a problem at all.
I think there's been more scoring this year than any other year in college football history.
So, I mean, it you're right there, like, but the fact that JT Shrout had no ability, has had no experience this year, gave you really no chance to win the game with him, and you went right back to JG anyway, which gave you no chance to win the game. So I don't know what those guys are supposed to think.
Yeah, and if they think, you know, last point, if they think JT Stroud is the second best option, you know, that kind of, that's a head scratcher in itself. But let's say, you know, we don't know what's going on. They think that he's definitely the number two, which they've changed that already. You know, the guy makes one mistake and then you pull him out. You talk about messing up people's psyche.
Yep.
That's right there. I'd leave the program in a heartbeat. You guys take care.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks for the call, Zach. Yeah, I mean, I don't – they – like, Trout's been the number two. Like, he said we're going to prepare two guys. He's been the number two. But they obviously have no – they have less faith in him than they should, and whoever in any other year would be the number two quarterback. And I don't understand why or what that is. I thought Zach's point's pretty good. Like, if we're worried about – if we don't want to play Harrison Bailey, then just say, look, Harrison, then back to my plan we were talking about earlier with the quarterback, I would say, look, Harrison, you're the emergency quarterback this week. We're going to go with the experienced guys. We're going to get you. We're going to use the bye week to get you ready to maybe play a little bit more at Arkansas if that's where we need you. We want to make sure you develop on time and that you're okay here. But we're going to – let's say the pecking order is JT Shrout 2, Brian Maurer 3, Harrison Bailey 4. Then it's like, all right, JT, you're going to start the game. We plan on giving Maurer some series as well in this game, whether you play good or poorly, either way. So we want you to cut it loose and go play, you know, your best ball. Yep. And, you know, if you play really well against Bama, we might throw Maurer in as kind of a changeup to try and continue – that positive momentum. If you play poorly, we might just give Brian a shot, and we might go back and forth. And that's how I would approach it. And I would tell Jarrett Garantano that he needs to take a long break, and we'll call you up when we need you. And then I'm probably never bringing him back, ever.
If you're looking at it, I know we asked the question, or the question was asked earlier, like, who do you want to see start? I want to see Bailey start just because I think as far as a long-term answer, he's your best bet as far as the four guys that you currently have on your roster at quarterback. Now, if you're asking the question, who has the best chance to beat Alabama, I honestly believe the answer is Brian Maurer. And I say that because the offensive line has really struggled. And again, the defense, like, Alabama's going to put up points. Your only hope is to actually be able to keep up and score with them. So, our offensive line has really struggled, and we have seen our tackles get beat a good amount of times. And I think when everyone talks about the best defensive mind in college football, Nick Saban comes to mind. He's going to be sending a lot of pressure to try to get at our guys because he knows, one, we're not going to be able to put our tight ends to really help off the edge. They're not good enough at blocking. Our running backs aren't good in pass pro, so that's not going to be an answer. So if you can really get a few situations where you get our tackles one-on-one, they're going to be able to light up the quarterback. And what we have seen before is when you don't have a good offensive line, you better have a quarterback who can move. And the best guy who can scramble on that team is Brian Maurer, unless they want to do like a Jimmy the Jet situation, put a package out there for him. But Nick Saban's going to bring the pressure. And if you do put Harrison Bailey out there, like Jim Chaney could be as good as – it could be his best day. It's not really going to matter whenever Nick Saban's going up against like a first-time starter and like Harrison Bailey. He's going to get the edge. And it's one of those things to where I'm really nervous just about the offense because I don't want to see a quarterback get hurt. But the way our line has looked the last couple of games, that's a genuine concern that I have. And the clock, if you're Jim Chaney, you're not going to be able to dial up any long shots whatsoever. You might as well tell your quarterback, you have one Mississippi and you better get rid of the ball.
I mean, if I'm Alabama, I'm like, man, I got
I don't know, man. Like, Ole Miss carved Alabama. Like,
they had a good quarterback.
No, I'm saying, like you said, if you put Bailey out there, you're worried about him getting hurt. Like, I don't – was Matt –
Corral, like, no.
Was he just, like, on his back the whole game? Didn't feel like it.
He was fine, but he was moving around.
No, that's true. I'm just saying, I don't think this Bama pass rush is, you know, all world. I mean, I'm not saying sit back there and, yeah, dial up the long developing downfield, you know, double moves and all that. I don't know.
If I'm Alabama, I'm like, man, I got to put two whole game plans together because if it's JG, I just want to sit back in zone the whole game and just let him throw it to us.
Oh, that's easy, though, right? Yeah, hey, we're going to rush three and back up.
If it's Brian Maurer, I'm probably heating up those tackles and trying to, you know, get to him and keep him pinned into the pocket.
Yeah, keeps him contained, right.
Yeah, and not give him an easy read and stay in a lot of man coverage. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. Hour three rolls on live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment of the program brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at knoxvillesmiles.com and make your appointment. Don't let your teeth suffer in 2020. Conveniently located in West Knoxville, it's Knoxville Smiles, Doctors Malone and Costa. They got you covered, 264 South Peters Road. Go to knoxvillesmiles.com to make an appointment. Right back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We got Roberto up next. What's up, Berto? You're on 3 and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Guys, in progressing this whole back, oh, and every
Roberto, we're losing you, buddy.
Oh, hold on 1 second.
Roberto, just be
it's
ready.
Now better.
Yeah,
there it
just
is.
Just
be there
ready
is.
That way when all the call right, starts, because it's been that way the last few times. Or you just kind of come in and out with the volume. I don't know what the deal is, but whatever you're
doing
now.
I don't understand that either. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But the long game is this. When the unequivocal leader of your team right now, which is Hank T, decides to tweet out, or I guess it was actually on his Instagram story, right?
Yeah.
Something like he did last night, you have lost your team. If that flies in the face of everything you're saying as a head coach, you have lost your team with this. Him and Trey Smith are the leaders of the team. Right now, Trey Smith is playing so poorly that nobody's looking to him. The only guy that's playing at an elite level on that, and I mean elite, like can play for any team in the league, is Hank T. And when he does something like that, you've lost your team.
It's a good
point. Now it's dissension. And I'm not saying that Hank T's wrong for doing it. He's putting his hope in the guy that gives him hope. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, he's showing me he wants
to
win.
Have hope in their leader, right?
Yeah, he's showing me he wants to win.
I mean, it's not that hard. Here's the deal. I made some polls over the week and hashtag sources and all that. So take this. Are you hearing the same thing I am, and that Chaney doesn't want to play JG anymore? He's over it. And that his guy is Maurer. And that, you know, his second guy would probably be Bailey, even though he's not a big – they're not – they don't like Bailey. Have you guys figured this out?
Yeah.
Have you heard this too?
Yeah.
Why? Has anyone actually said the why of why they don't like
Sounds
Bailey?
Sounds like he got, look, what, five plays earlier in the summer and he wasn't very good, and they said, oh, nope, not good. Like, I don't know. Like,
five
he wasn't
– 18-year-old.
Yeah, he wasn't good the minute he got to practice, and so now you just you shelve him? Doesn't make any sense to me.
But well, I mean, you just fired your defensive lines coach, who's the only guy coaching up any squad on the team. I mean, he may have sucked at the beginning during the summer, and that's fine or whatever. But was there any unit on the team? And again, Hank T is exceptional, but the rest of the inside linebackers were terrible. Is there any unit that was playing better than our defensive line? I guess they would say playing above their pay grade.
I was going to say, based on expectations, the defensive line's been better than I thought they'd be. Inside linebackers have been good, except in coverage. We kind of expected that. Secondary's been fine. I had higher hopes for the secondary. But, no, like the defensive line, based on everything you heard from fall camp, oh, got to get a pass rush, got to hold our spots, blah, blah, blah. No, like they've played better than you thought.
Yeah, and Tyler Barron's come on and been like, wow, that kid can really play. In
two
years, he's going to not just be a contributor. But
he was really good against
player.
South Carolina, and then I feel like you didn't see him as much the last three games. But, yeah, I think that's a guy who down the road is going to help you in a big way.
So here's my worry, guys. And it's clear that Pruitt, I mean, for everyone I've talked to, just didn't like Brumbaugh from the beginning. Just didn't like him as a person, okay? I am so lost in the weeds of playing favorites as a person in a job situation. Look, guys, I loved, as a person, my assistant a couple years ago at my office, but she couldn't get the job done, so I fired her. That's how work works. And I just, you know, Brumbaugh seemed like he was getting it done, and as I said yesterday, maybe he just fired the wrong line coach. Maybe he had it wrong in his phone. I mean, that's literally the only explanation I can have, because Friend needs to be fired, Winky needs to be fired, and if you can't see that, that really worries me that Jeremy Pruitt has no idea what's going on the offensive side of the ball. For as defensive a genius as he truly is, and he truly is, I've never seen anything like it. Guys, I appreciate so much time today. Have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Berto. Yeah, I saw Reed Carringer tweeted out, Tennessee's defense ranks 24th nationally in total defense. Tennessee's offense is 67th out of 77 teams.
Yeah, I mean, you have a top third of the country defense, and imagine how much better they'd be if they weren't exhausted due to turnovers and bad field position.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only one who thinks everyone's blowing the Hank T thing way out of proportion and it didn't mean anything at all? Or am I the only one who knows how to use social media?
Well, you're the only one who knows how an 18-year-old thinks.
Okay. Well, this is how I'm going to think that Hank
Go
T is
for
thinking.
It.
You ready?
Yeah.
So the post that he put, that Harrison Bailey posts, this is the one that everyone's talking about.
Picture of Harrison Bailey, fingers crossed.
No, no, I mean, the picture is of it's on Harrison Bailey's Instagram. It's Harrison Bailey's picture he posts, okay. And it's just a picture of him dropped back. It's a good game picture. All it says is playing football with the bros in Neyland. Orange emoji and then a little rock and roll emoji or love you emoji, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole entire post. Hank T then puts it on his Instagram, and it's not like he's putting it on his Instagram saying this is my guy, this is who I want to play quarterback. He literally just clicks the share, posts a story so people then can click on that post and go to Harrison Bailey's Instagram with the finger like that. From my impression, this just means he's one of the bros. He's kind of supporting him because
Fingers crossed means we're tight.
Yes, exactly. Like, this is not a thing of, like, this is my guy. He didn't put the number one up as, like, QB number one. Like, there's people in this comments who are commits who are saying QB number one, and I've seen that blowing up, and that's decent. But just running with Henry T, agreeing with Harrison Bailey, saying, like, playing Neyland with my boys and trying to use subtext, I guess it would be the proper term, is like trying to turn this into the NBA and this league and stuff when people tweet out eyeball emojis, and that's just not what it is.
I haven't seen anybody freaking out over it. I mean, and I wouldn't even blame Hank T if he did mean this. I think we should try to play Harrison Bailey. I just don't think it matters. Like, it really doesn't matter. I don't think this means that Jeremy Pruitt's lost the team, if that's what it means. I just don't think it's that big of a deal.
Exactly. That's my point. It does not matter. People are reading way too much into it.
Well, that's what people are going to do. But what I'm saying was, one way or the other, whatever he meant or didn't mean by it, I still don't really think it matters. I think everyone sees it and they're like, oh, yeah, quarterback change is probably coming up. We definitely need to do that. Hank T posts a picture of Bailey. That means – but if regardless, I don't think that means he's lost the team. I think we would all like to see a change at quarterback.
I'll ask you this question. How many more times can he roll JG out there before he loses the team?
Well, I don't know. Because I think the team's out on JG. I think that's clear. I think the fan base is out on JG. That's clear. Somehow the head coach is not quite out on JG. No. So if you're Pruitt, let's say he really doesn't think anybody's better than JG. I find that hard to believe, but let's say it's true. What do you do now? If your team's coming down on you or, you know, frustrated about it, the fan base is frustrated about it. I mean, people nationally are saying you cannot start JG again. Do you trot somebody else out there against – I mean, it does feel unfair to prove your point, so to speak, against an Alabama. But if you trot somebody else out there and you sacrifice and lose a game that you could have won with JG, is that proving your point? Is that worth it in a year like this? Or do you just keep rolling out JG and say, I know what you're thinking, I totally get it, but really no one's better than him?
It was fine before last Saturday. I mean, if you don't have that type of performance, but again, we look at it on a week-to-week basis.
That's the problem. Like, the second half of Georgia, you saw the avalanche, and then it just continued to start the Kentucky game.
If JG had played the way he did against South Carolina, it would have been fine. But he doesn't, and we knew he wouldn't. We knew that would come at some point.
All JG's turnovers were in the first half, right? So he has six turnovers in – he had six turnovers in four quarters. That's – you can't win that way.
No.
Look, I mean – Matt Corral, look what he did. Six picks, and they were still in the game, but you can't do that. Surely to goodness, you could put one of these other guys in there and say, hey, whatever you do, don't throw it to the other team four times. I mean.
Well, and it goes back to, like, I mean, JG can't even properly hand the ball off.
I know.
Yeah. And you'd think Pruitt would see the opposite.
He's bobbling the snap. He's getting hit by the ball.
Andrew brought up the South Carolina game that we threw that out route that was completed, that was all the way across the field. Same play that they ran the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it gained like 8 yards. It was fine because South Carolina bailed on that and you hit it. But, like, wasn't Pruitt, like, so happy that the defense got a pick six against South Carolina and pointed that as one of the big keys in the game? Why doesn't he see the inverse, that the Kentucky pick sixes were the difference in the game, like going the other way? I don't understand.
I don't know. Also, he said something about we run a deep out route and the corner never has to get out of his back pedal.
Yeah, he was complaining that.
Yeah,
he was playing with the receiver.
Route running.
Yeah. Well, my question is this. If the guy squats on the route, aren't you supposed to just run right by him? Isn't that a check from the receiver? Like, you run a route based on coverage? So did he run the wrong route based on what the – it was weird because he said – he basically said it as, we didn't stress corner enough. We didn't come out fast enough to make him turn his hips before you break to the out route. But if he doesn't turn his hips, if he's still in a back pedal, aren't you supposed to just run right by him?
It depends on the play. I mean, yeah.
Don't get me wrong. JG should never have thrown it if the corner never turns his head.
If it's an option route, yes. But I don't think that's what he was saying. He was saying he didn't come off, like you said, he didn't sell that he was running a takeoff enough
to get open.
To get separation on the out route.
Okay, I'll buy that. But he wasn't open, so you don't throw the ball.
Yeah. Well, on top of that, I don't think Jim Chaney's given JG and the receivers the ability to have a lot of options as far as their route running ability.
What receiver was that?
It's a great question. But, I mean, we've watched this offense. We know that you don't want to give them more than they can handle. I mean, we're giving them the bare minimum, it seems like, and they can't even figure that out.
I think the receivers have done okay. They're okay. We don't have, you know, Waddle or Devonta Smith. We don't have any of those guys. But I think they've been okay. I do think they've played slow at times. They don't fire off the ball and really stress corners, especially if they're running a route that they probably don't think they're going to be the first target, because everybody knows JG looks at one guy. I mean, that's part of the problem, man. Like, you have players out there on offense and defense, really, who it's just everything's frustrating. They don't play hard. Like, I'm a receiver. I'm the third option on the play. I'm not getting the ball. So I'm not going to run a good route. And then let's say he does look at me and I've run a bad route. Now I'm not open. Like, it's this weird, like, self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, oh, I'm not going to be a target on this play. So I'll just loaf a little bit, jog through it.
And to go against my own point, though, I mean, at least early on, we saw that the receivers, and again, this could have changed, but I mean, early on, the receivers were grading out, which that means they were running really good routes whenever they weren't.
That's what I'm saying. It feels like they started okay, and then as the quarterback play has deteriorated, they're frustrated. They're mad. They're not getting the ball. The passes are overthrown or underthrown or thrown to the other team. Quarterback's getting sacked, fumbling the ball. I mean, I remember the Georgia sack, the first one where he got hit and he fumbled. I mean, look at the receivers on that play. They just kind of throw their hands up like, oh, come on, man. Like, they're frustrated. They need a change. I'm sure the offensive line is sick of, having a perfect pocket and you throw two pick sixes with great pass protection. I'm sure they're sick of him holding the ball too long. Like, this is not like a bag on JG. I'm just saying psyche of the team right now. How can you have confidence? How can you play with any confidence right now? Got to make a change. It's necessary at this point. If not this week, certainly before Arkansas. Like, I understand it's Alabama. Probably don't have a shot to win. Probably going to get drug across that field. But you've got to give a spark, not only to the fan base, but to your own team, who right now realizes the same things that this guy has always done, he is doing them again. You can't fix it. Four offensive coordinators, 5 years. He's regressing. It's on the coaches. You got to make a move.
This play is even worse than I thought it was. On the flip side, I'll tell you who it was, what the route was.
It was Tillman, according to Kevin.
It was Tillman, and I'll tell you why. From JG's standpoint, there's no freaking way you ever throw this ball, and it was obvious before he ever snapped it.
I would like to, at one point on Optimism Tuesday, talk about a quarterback on the other end of the spectrum.
We'll maybe allow it. Maybe. Troy Green. Welcome back to Three and Out as Hour 3 rolls on here live. One more time, need to remind you that sports betting is almost here and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. The great thing about this is it's $50 in free bets as soon as the FanDuel Sportsbook goes live in Tennessee, and you get it just for signing up. You don't have to deposit anything. Just get the FanDuel Sportsbook app, and you can either download it from the website sportsbook.fanduel.com, especially if you're on an Android phone. If you're on iPhone, it should be in the Apple Play Store for you right there. It's the intuitive app with FanDuel, and FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site. Sports betting is about to go legal in Tennessee. I cannot wait. And once you're ready to go, once it's live, you'll get $50 in free site credits immediately if you've signed up and used our promo code 3OUT. That's the number 3OUT. So they know we sent you. That's promo code 3OUT to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook goes live right here in Tennessee. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
And when you win, they will get your money in as little as 24 hours. That is big time.
That's quick. That's good. Can't wait for gambling to be legal and to be able to use the FanDuel Sportsbook app. All right, so the play we're discussing is in the Kentucky game. It's 0-0. Both teams have had a fumble. Tennessee's in pretty good shape.
Sitting even here.
Yep. It's third down and five. It's really 4.5. It's third down and 4.5 yards. So you're going to need to throw the football. Tennessee has the ball at its own 38.5 yard line. So you're not backed up, but you are on your own end. You're probably going to punt if you don't get this, pick this up, unless it's like another fourth and one or less. You've got three receivers to the left side in kind of a bunch, and you also have Eric Gray to that side of the field as well. At the bottom of the screen, you have one receiver that's got a short split. He's in the slot on the ball. Cedric Tillman is in the three-receiver bunch. Keep in mind, it's 3 and 4.5, right? Third down and 4.5, all right? So Cedric Tillman comes in motion across the line of scrimmage. A lot of times when you send a guy in motion, it is a great way to tell the quarterback whether they're in man coverage or zone coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought previously that this was a zone coverage play. However, as Cedric Tillman motions across the formation, his cover man for Kentucky comes with him all the way across. It's man coverage. Kentucky's in man. They also have two safeties deep. If I've got safety help deep and I'm in man coverage, I can take more chances, right? I can glue onto the receiver earlier in the route. I can try and stop the play at the sticks. Because if they try and give me a hitch and go or an out and up or some kind of double move, I'm going to have safety help. So Jared Garantano should have known as soon as Cedric Tillman comes across the formation that, hey, I've got man under coverage here. My guy's going to have to win the route to be open. The ball's on the left hash, and as we all know, the out route that's being run is all the way outside of the right hash. It's a long throw in college football. Cedric Tillman tries to run kind of a speed out. A speed out's where you don't make it necessarily a hard 90-degree angle.
It's a rounded out, yeah.
Where you try and win with the cut. You're trying to win with speed. The only problem with that is it's man coverage. The guy that picked six that came across the formation and showed you his man coverage, you can look at the two high safeties as he comes across and know that he's got help over the top. That is not going to be there.
Mm-mm.
Never in a million years is that going to be there.
And that corner jumps it as soon as he makes the cut.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You also had Jalen Hyatt open on a post for probably a touchdown.
Hyatt was one of the guys in the bunch at the top. You also had a hitch route to whoever else was up there.
Looks like Palmer.
Is that Palmer?
Yeah.
If corner
jumped that, too. Might not have been there. Wouldn't have been pick six.
If you throw that on time, it's fine. I mean, look, he's already
turned.
No,
I got it right here.
All right, he's already turned around. Throw that on time before he turns, and he's going to catch that for completion right at the line to gain, and as long as he falls forward, it's a first down. Pruitt said we should have thrown the check down. Where's the check down?
Talking about that play?
Yeah.
There wasn't a check down.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He said that about the other pick six. Sorry, so many.
Get your pick sixes mixed
confused,
up.
Yeah. But, like, there's that.
Yeah, should have gone to Palmer on the hitch or lobbed the post out there to Hyatt. Easy. Hyatt's going to burn that guy. It's a touchdown. The other safety came up, read his eyes. Yeah, it's bad. Breaking news. Tennessee's quarterback played bad.
Oh, man, Hyatt would have been really open to. Although, I will say, because JG's eyes went so hard to the right immediately, that's one of the reasons that safety stayed up.
Right. If you look that and then see that it's not open, which is what he's supposed to do, and then just lob it out there for Hyatt to run underneath it, it's a touchdown. That's what I'm saying. Like, first half of the play, not bad, because you've now manipulated the safety and freed up the deep route for Hyatt, who is the fastest guy on the field.
He's
pulling away from that guy.
Watch Eric Gray's pass pro on that play.
Did he touch anybody?
He correctly identifies that he needs to fill that gap in the middle and watch for a blitzer, and then
leaves.
He turns and leaves, and if JG had, like, pumped and not thrown the out and then tried to come back to another thing, he gets killed again.
Mm-hmm.
Guy came free right up the middle. They actually had four ready to rush. They bailed the stand-up guy into the window where JG still tried to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
What? Like, I don't understand how you would ever think that that's the side. He should have been working the left side of the field
mm-hmm.
from jump street.
Yep.
As soon as the motion went across and it's man coverage. Oh, my goodness. This makes me want to vomit. This is like high school bad. It's awful.
Yeah, it's very bad.
But it was Tillman's problem for not getting open on that speed out. Like, I don't – there's nothing he can do there.
No. I mean, Kentucky knows you're going to make a run for the sticks. They, yeah. I mean, as soon as he makes the little slick cut there, like, of course he's going to try to jump that.
BK makes a great point. Says, so these dullards determined that Bailey couldn't play in like 5 or 10 plays, but they can't see that JG can't play after 5 years. It's mind-numbing. I don't get it. And I don't know. Davey, we'll get to the Titans eventually. We need one more break. I guess you can give your Tannehill stats coming back on the flip side.
He had to throw that pass 25 yards to gain 4.5.
Well, I mean, against South Carolina, when the coverage is completely different.
Why don't we just run it twice?
20 yards off, then it's fine.
Just run it twice right there, too.
Throw the hitch at the top. Throw the post. Yeah. Throw. If he just works left side,
mm-hmm.
post to hitch, it's you're going to get a completion.
Yep. Makes no sense.
Final segment is brought to you by the second annual Smoking for a Cause Golf Tournament. Head on over to register. It is this Friday, shotgun start 1 p.m. at Dead Horse Lake Golf Course. If you want to play, they're looking for a couple more teams there. It's to benefit East Tennessee Children's Hospital. And you can register at sfacknx.org. It's the acronym for Smoking for a Cause. Knox, so sfacknx.org and register right there on the website. Smoking for a Cause golf tournament.
I just said that sounded funny. Will.
Yep. Need a few more teams. Dead Horse Lake this Friday, 11 a.m. registration, 11:30 lunch is included, 1 p.m. shotgun start.
Mm.
It's four ball scramble there. So there you go. Smoking for a Cause, raise some money for a good cause. Out there at Dead Horse Lake. All right, Davey, the floor is yours.
The internal optimist that I am, I thought it would be good to end the show.
Did you say internal optimist?
Did I?
Sounded like it.
I don't know.
Continue, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But
you just keep all your optimism to yourself.
Closeted optimist.
Yeah.
He's coming out right now.
I wanted to end the show on a positive note. We've spent the time talking about possibly the worst quarterback in Tennessee history.
Oof.
I want to go on the opposite end and talk about one who is playing better, and arguably it's the best football team in the world right now. I mean, you could legitimately make that case. So, right now, the Titans are 5-0. They have a matchup against the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers coming this Sunday in Nissan Stadium. But what is incredible, and even I'll admit I was not expecting things to continue like they have, but Ryan Tannehill has been the best quarterback in the league since he has started for the Titans. His record since taking over in week 7 for the Tennessee Titans last year, he's 12-3. In that time period, he has the second highest grade, according to Pro Football Focus, with a 92. It's pretty good. He's leading the league in touchdown passes with 40 over that time period, and he's also first in yards per attempt at 8.6. When you look at it, he's playing better than Mahomes, he's playing better than Jackson, and I would argue right now Russell Wilson's playing better than he is, just overall, when you look at kind of how the teams are going. But if you want to make the case for Tannehill, I'm not going to stand in the way. But the Titans, again, continue to show it doesn't matter what they are having to go up against, they continue to come out. And I had a few harsh words for Mike Vrabel early into the season last year whenever things weren't going great. But you know what he did? He made a quarterback change, and you saw that team go to new heights. Right now, Mike Vrabel is just coaching circles around a lot of other coaches in the league. He's understanding how to use the clock to his advantage, which I was very critical of.
Yeah, the rules and the clock.
Yeah. Early on, like I was like, you got to challenge that last year. And he at least has composure, which you see a lot of coaches kind of freak out in moments. There was a situation against the Texans on Sunday late into the game where the Texans are likely going to score, but the Titans, Mike Vrabel, sends a 12th guy out on the field intentionally to get a penalty so that the Texans pick up a first down, but it saves the Titans 40 seconds. Titans score the game tying touchdown with 4 seconds on the clock. They then go to overtime and they win. Derrick Henry, also a beast. This was the first time in NFL history on Sunday where a team had a passing or had a quarterback throw for 350 plus yards and a running back go for over 200. They also had a guy by the name of Anthony Firkser step up, have over 100 plus receiving yards. And
tight end.
Yes.
Nice to have a tight end.
And that's after Jonnu Smith got hurt with a high ankle sprain.
How long is he out, did they say?
There's a chance, it might not be a high ankle sprain, just an ankle sprain, but he likely will miss Pittsburgh from kind of what I'm seeing, but there is a chance he plays. Unfortunately, the Titans did lose starting left tackle Taylor Lewan for the season with a ACL tear. Now, they did draft a tight end, or not a tight end, a tackle in the first round this past year. Now, he has been very immature, but hopefully they can get him up to speed and he can play some valuable snaps. Right now, he's the next guy up. They're going to go with Ty Sambrello right now. But I just think it's refreshing to watch the Tennessee Vols, when the Tennessee Vols play this bad, at least to have something to look over to a couple of hours away with the name Tennessee in it, and just have a team that's fun to watch on offense.
Defense needs a little work after that one.
They do. Hopefully they get some more of their guys back here soon. I know Adoree Jackson still not sure what the deal is there. The Titans did get beat on several plays, but that was kind of the issue that they've had in the past where it's like even when the defense plays really well, the offense hasn't exactly put up points. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Titans are lighting it up on the scoreboard.
This is the first time since 2008 that we started 5-0, and we finished 13-3 that season.
13-3, had the first, the number one overall seed in the AFC, unfortunately lost to the Ravens, but it feels good. I've not been in this situation in a long time when it just comes to Tennessee sports where we get into a situation late in the game and we might be down, but I just feel confident the coach is going to put the team in the correct position to win the game. And Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill are doing that. Arthur Smith's going to be a head coach soon, the offensive coordinator for the Titans. He is great game plan after great game plan. They did start off rocky against the Broncos, but ever since then, the offense has been firing on all cylinders. And that is good to see, in my opinion. So if you are upset that the Tennessee Volunteers cannot get it together and you're looking for something to be happy about, you are more than welcome to come join the Tennessee Titans.
You are dancing on dangerous ground.
Things can go wrong. I understand it. But, like,
just saying, it's risky.
I do want to talk more NFL and Titans, more Titans tomorrow. It's hard when there's so much that we need to get out with the Tennessee Vols. We got punishment tomorrow. I'm eating wasabi. Houston's got shot collar trivia on Thursday.
I'm doing the bra.
Will has ice bra challenge or ice bra punishment, I guess.
Do I have to tape my nipples?
You can if you want to. It's allowed.
Am I putting my questions together?
No.
I need 10 from Will and I need 10 from Nate.
All right, you're putting them together?
Yikes. Yeah.
All right, if you want to DM @NateHodges and send me questions for Houston's tomorrow, you can. The Blitz is next.